Welcome to the High Velocity Radio Show. This is your host, Stone Payton, and in the studio with me this morning is my good buddy and co-host, Lee Cantor. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Stone. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well, man, and I love the new intro music. That's it. That you have finally landed.
I stumbled upon it.
On the proper High Velocity there. Radio intro music.
At least for today.
And I'm full of energy because I've been eating real food all weekend because I took your advice and I went to the Sandy Springs Farmers Market Saturday morning.
Had that guy. What'd you get?
Well, I dropped a Blue Fortune, but I got one of everything. I got some bread. I got the purple peppers. I got the lemon cucumbers. I got the tomatoes, the goat cheese, the grass-fed beef. I bought them out, man.
Nice. Good job. My wife brought back beets from there. Do you eat beets?
I love beets, and my wife cooks beets. It makes a hell of a mess all over the kitchen.
Yeah, but she roasted them because the farmer told her how to do it. Said you just take the whole beet, put some olive oil and something else on top of it, and just put it in the oven for like an hour.
You can shave the sole off the bottom of a shoe and dip it in the right olive oil, and it's delicious.
It's all good.
You had me at olive oil. That's delicious.
Yeah, so she just did that for a while, and then the skin peels right off. None of that red mess.
Really?
Good to go.
Because my kitchen is, we have all that green granite. You've seen it. And it gets enveloped in red when we do the beef thing.
If you boil it, that's what'll happen.
That's what happens.
If you roast it, it's another thing. Don't slice it. Just put the whole thing in there.
Just
like a baked potato.
Wow. We could do like a recipe show. Yeah, the High Velocity Recipe Show.
Healthy eating with Stone and Lee.
I was not on top of that idea, and I booked a little different kind of guest this morning. But this is going to be an exciting show. First up on the High Velocity Radio Show, I am delighted to introduce the partner with Yepser Internet Strategy, Mr. Danny Broadway. Welcome to the show, man.
Good morning. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We're delighted to have you, man. Internet Strategy, you can make a living at this?
The web has gotten large. It is, encompassing millions of people. So there's a space for everything. But yeah, we're excited. We're doing a lot of things online to help a lot of companies here in actually in the entire region, the Southeast region, to get their presence correctly out there and ready to go.
So what kind of stuff are you doing?
Yeah,
people.
Sure.
What kind of pain are people having out there? Do they even know they're in pain?
Yeah, they do. And obviously with the economy seeming to rebound a little bit, I think everybody's doing a little better. But, with that coming back, people do have dollars to go out and advertise and do that type of thing. But it's a whole new world out there now. You don't just run a newspaper ad and have 1,000 people call you and you all of a sudden you've got a business. You've got to go out there and you've got to make relationships and the new media. And that's where social media comes in. And I know that'll be one of the big topics that we want to talk about today. So, the way that we look at it is every company is going to have a different approach. They've got a different market segment that they're trying to reach. So, again, talking more specifically to social media today, but there are a lot of different topics out there with Google and obviously web design and all the different things that we do at Yepser, yepser.com to take care of those things.
I want to hit him with the same question that we get from time to time. I want to, who's listening? I want to hear. So you're working with a client and you're trying to help them understand all this sexy stuff and figure out what platform, Twitter, the Facebook, and the MySpace, and all this business. And then don't they want to know? Well, if I go to all this trouble and write this in-depth thought leadership stuff, is anybody ever going to hear it? Do you get that question?
Do you ever get that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, one of the very first things we do is analyze where's your audience and who are you trying to reach? It's funny. A lot of people don't realize that there's technology that we've built. And there are other technologies where we can go directly to Twitter and kind of sneak into conversations and listen in and find people who are talking about keywords and key conversations around what you're looking. For you guys, it'd be radio. So Radio Atlanta, something like that, where we go in and define those keywords and find people and make those introductions on your behalf. And there are ways to do that on Facebook also, where we go into Facebook, and Facebook obviously is a $1 billion company, so you have to pay them for it, but they don't give you the name, but they make the introduction for you. So there are a lot of different ways to go out there and handle this and grow these large audiences that are very clearly defined and focused and interested in what you do.
But how do you kind of educate your client when they come in and maybe their frame of reference is, like you had said earlier, well, if I run an ad in the newspaper and they tell, the newspaper sales guy is going, well, let's see, there's 5 million people in Atlanta and this is the biggest newspaper in Atlanta.
Right.
And so your ad's going to be there and it's got to be big because you got to get people's attention and it's got to run every day because you can't run it one time because that's worthless. And then it's going to hit, over the course of this length of this week, ad run, it'll hit 10 million viewers.
Or, right, a Nicola home, right. And here's your reach, and here's your influence.
Right.
And,
but then you're going to come in, and you're going to go, well, that's all BS, right? You're going to say something, not BS.
He's going to be more elegant.
Yeah, I give him a hug before I say BS,
right.
But yeah.
But you're going to say, and then you're going to go, you know what? It's going to be better. You're going to start today, and you're going to have 100 Twitter followers. And they're going to go, I'm trading my millions of people for 100. And you're going to go, yes, you are. And then that'll cost you. Here's my fee.
Sure.
How do you have that conversation?
Sure. No, the conversation is that you can't think campaigns anymore. That's the problem in this new, whether you call it marketing, advertising, whatever. You've got to think about conversations. And where are those conversations going to lead, and who are you reaching out to? So again, I guess what I'm saying is, instead of us reaching 1,000 homes where one person picks the flyer up or the postcard and makes the phone call, what we're looking for is that one mom or the one husband who is specifically in your target audience. They're 36 years old. They've just finished a tennis match, and we're out there selling Prince rackets or something, you know.
Right.
And so what would one targeted client who you're talking to in a conversation every day about Prince rackets be than to do 1,000 mail outs to 999 homes that don't play tennis, and the one that does gets a postcard, and you're taking that chance. So again, there is a place for branding, and I think that's our conversation. We need to brand those homes so that if Bob picks up a racket next week and decides to play tennis, he knows Prince. I'm not saying that, but there is a way to go out and start a conversation with a guy who plays tennis and help him understand why Prince might be the best racket.
So, but do you have trouble with that? You know, when they're coming from a mindset of the bigger the number is a win for me, and then you're trying to sell me on a lower number, even though the number, like on one hand, you're saying this lower number, this is an engaged person. This is somebody that's actively participating in a conversation with you. So therefore, they have to have much more value in your mind, right?
Yeah, again, I don't think what I'm trying to do is say don't do anything else. I think what I'm trying to say is there is a huge world out there. The largest website in America is called Facebook. It's not Google anymore. Google, if I'm looking to coupon and buy cheap, and you know, Google's a great place to do that, and there is a huge audience that's out there doing that. You know, Google's kind of the mailer in my world. There's another huge world out there of conversations and opportunities, and there's an overall branding that needs to be done. So I'm saying combine what I'm doing on Facebook with your TV run, combine what I'm doing with your newspaper run, mm-hmm. Make sure that you're branding in your business cards, Facebook and Twitter, so that that audience who might have used to, the only way they could contact you was to make a phone call, right? So
right.
You put 1-800 call me today, right? Now, they might not call you in this new world, in this new economy. They want to know you first. So you've got to have your facebook.com/radio X. You've got to have your twitter.com/. You've got to have those spaces where they can interact with you first at that level, and then that might lead to a phone call. Or a lot of times, and you know, you can kind of ask some of the clients, they're going to buy online. You know, that's where they're going to make their purchasing decision, because that conversation is as good as a phone call.
And so where do you get all started with all this? Because this can be very overwhelming and confusing for somebody like Lee. I mean, not me, I understand it completely.
Yeah, yeah, no.
But I mean, there's so many choices. You got all these different platforms. You're getting all this advice coming at you from 100 different directions. And everybody from Cousin Susie to my mom to somebody
right.
who runs an internet strategy company is telling me I got to have a Facebook page.
Right, I got a job already. I don't need another job.
So no. where do you start?
No, yeah, the first thing you do, you have to correctly build the presence. And well, let me back up. You do have to define your audience. And we've already kind of talked about that. Who are you looking to make contact with? Where are they at? What are they talking about? So there is some strategy to that, obviously. And at YepSir, we will sit down and go through that strategy first of all. But where do you really start? You just have to go get involved. Whether you have the time to do it yourself or you have the financial opportunity to have a professional handle it, you've got to go in and get involved. And usually the first step is to get your design formatted correctly. There are some really neat things out there where we can almost turn Facebook into a website. We can have direct purchasing off it now. We can go in and have very interactive pages that we build inside of it. And again, if you can check out YepSir.com. You can check out Facebook/YepSir to see some of these and how we do that and how we get people involved. And being able to do things on a Facebook page that you would normally only be able to do on a website. Facebook's been really good about opening up some of those APIs to give those opportunities. So you want to go in and make sure that you have the right presence, just like you used to have your website designed correctly. Now you need to make sure your Facebook and your Twitters are designed correctly to engage, and all the ideas of, you know, what is your conversion rate, just like a website, you know, and making sure that those things are right. And then from there, you just have to have a conversation. I mean, I'd love to make it difficult, but you have to have the conversations and be active.
But that word keeps coming up. That's a theme for you. That is very different than me going on a Twitter or a Facebook and saying, hey, look at me and how great and wonderful I am. We need to have that two-way exchange, right?
You're exactly right. Yeah, you don't want to go out and advertise. People are on Facebook because they're tired of advertising. You know, they want to interact with their friends. And if you're posting on Facebook 10 times a day and you're running if you're a grandmother and you're on there and you're wanting to see your grandkids ride their bike or do their swim meet, if you're running, do your remodeling with me today or this or that all day long, and you're pushing those posts off the page, they're going to unfriend you or not follow you. So you have to have an engaging conversation, and then every now and then explain what you do and what you've done for somebody else.
Now, how important is it for the person who is engaging on social media to actually be that person, or can you subcontract that out?
Yeah, it's funny. When we represent a client, you know, at the end of the day, we are getting all the information that we post from that client. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we represent several different law firms, okay? And each one has their own personality, even though we're cleaning up the information a little bit and setting the program up to benefit them. At the end of the day, we are driving that content from them, not from us. We're almost like the little bug in your ear reminding you, hey, by the way, you haven't given me any content this week to clean up or to help you with or to really structure a program around you. So we're really more of a support mechanism. We're not taking the personality out of Facebook. And there are a lot of purists out there who say that's not possible. And we lean away from that. We lean to the point that we can help you be you in the right manner, very professional. But there are some purists that would say that's not the case. But we have found, you know, over 100 companies that we represent that has not been a problem. And we can define very different markets for the same group. And what I think that shows is that we are representing a personality and forwarding that personality out there. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I think it does to me. I've got just a very tactical question, because mm-hmm. here at Business Radio X, without me, the whole opera falls apart. Okay?
Sure,
I mean,
sure.
I am a vital cog here, right?
So no, Lee's over here. He was asleep a minute ago. So
thanks for inviting us.
So with that as the foundation,
right.
I have a Stone Payton Facebook page, and it's got everything from, you know, my best friend. So it just became a granddad like yesterday or something.
Yeah.
And so you got all that news. Do I go out there to the marketplace as Stone Payton, who obviously is connected to this Business Radio X thing, or do we need to set up our own, do we need to have a Business Radio X Facebook thing?
Again, I'm going to answer you, but I'm going to go back to, what are you trying to accomplish? You know, what are you trying to brand? What do you want people to know you as? Are you wanting to be the personality? Or are you wanting to be the radio station?
Or the old guy who has a friend that's a grandparent.
Yeah, right. Who do you want to, is it just a personal space to play? So, I mean, I think at the end of the day, you really have to define what are you trying to brand? And that's what you want to build your brand around. So, you know, in your case, again, if you do multiple radio or you look at what you do and how you
want to define yourself. Personality type might want to keep it very personal, but somebody like me who wants this entity to function in his absence so he can take a nap and travel the world,
right.
Probably go more the latter idea, right?
That would be, it sounds like, yeah, we're having a consultation right here.
Well,
man. It's happening.
That's
it's
why
happening.
We have this show, so I can get free
consulting. Right, exactly.
Well, as long as we're on a roll, what about this idea? I met a guy at a cocktail party. It was one of our mixers, Lee, and he had this thing. He was talking about, you have one message or one thing, and it shoots it out to all these platforms at one time. Is that good mojo, or is that a little double-edged sword there?
We don't do that, because we're really going to go after the Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, whatever you're looking at. We're going to go after the guy who is, or the girl who is actively involved in those spaces, and the people who are living and dying in these spaces and are really using them to find their next, you know, home remodeler or whatever it might be. You know, those people know when that happens, and that's kind of annoying. You know, I don't want to see that you're sitting on the like on Facebook, you might put out there, hey, I'm having a cocktail on the porch on a Friday night. I'm loving it, whatever.
Right.
Don't really want to see that on LinkedIn. So if your Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn are all hooked together, I'm going to get a little annoyed by that. I'm going to go look for a professional in LinkedIn. I'm going to go look for some fun in Facebook, and I'm going to go look for information in Twitter. Twitter is just an information highway. You're going to see 1,000 things roll across the screen in a given day. I'm going to pick 2 or 3 things and go in, click on, you know, if you're correctly embedding links and things, and again, this gets a little technical, but if you're embedding these links, I'm only getting the teaser so that I'll click through to the blog, to the website, to wherever you're sharing, you know, YouTube, it might be a video, wherever you're sharing this information.
You get that?
I got it all. I'm writing it down.
And you're, he's on his 10th page in the book here. He's got a big book. He's just writing. I don't know.
Now, you're paid to think and talk like this, but you brought some real evidence. You brought a delighted client. Tell us who you brought with you.
Yeah, we brought Nelly today. Nelly is the owner, founder, operator. What else? Any other good titles, Nelly?
I do it all for Glammother.
That's right. That's right. So she's with Glammother, and I'd love for, you know, we thought that'd be a great way to have somebody just come tell the story. We've been working with her for a year, and she has a phenomenal concept, and we've been able to help her kind of package that on the internet and deliver it and grow some followers and sell some t-shirts that are really cool. So I'll let her talk about it though.
Yeah. Enough about you.
I'm going to go to the bathroom. I'll be back, guys.
Yeah, we don't need you anymore.
Right.
But let's hear first just about Glammother in general. What are you out there trying to do for folks?
Okay. So what I'm doing. So first of all, my name is Nelly Myers, and I am the founder of Glammother. And Glammother is all about redefining the image of grandmothers. Typically, when you think about grandmothers, you think about women, you know, the Madison Avenue look is a stodgy old woman wearing dowdy clothes. You know, she typically only comes to life when she's around her grandkids. In other words, she's almost out to pasture. I believe that in this new millennium, being that the average age of a grandmother, believe it or not, guys, is 48, not 68, not 78. The average age of a grandmother today is 48.
Yeah, Stone's friends can attest to that.
Yeah,
right?
Just in fact, I'll be 48 in August. I guess Cindy must be like 48, right? Like we
exactly.
went to high school. Yeah,
just like you went to high school together. So, and my contention is that these women are still making a vital contribution to society and the world. They're very active. They're very web savvy. They are very chic in terms of how they dress. They're foodies, so they love to go out to restaurants. They're very aware in terms of
And they can
of
afford
wine.
It now, right?
And they can afford it because, right? Number one, they're still working. And if they're not still working and running companies, they are managing companies themselves, like me, becoming entrepreneurs. They're leading top organizations. And I like to say, you know what, whether you like it or not, Nancy Pelosi is one of the highest ranking grandmothers in the country.
Right.
So the whole Glammother idea is about trying to bring awareness to this group of women that I believe Madison Avenue and others have forgotten about, to also bring awareness to the women that fit into that category, that you don't have to go out and kind of only be around your grandkids. You can have a life, and it doesn't have to be your grandkids. You're going to love your grandkids. You're going to play with them, be involved with them. But I know grandmothers that are hiking with their grandkids. They're going skiing with them. I've got a dear friend of mine. Her grandson has convinced her to go rock climbing. You know, so grandmothers out there, they're doing it in a very, very active mode. And so my mission is to bring awareness to this group of women.
And are you partnering with the casinos? Because my mom, boy.
I haven't thought about that, but that may be my next stop. That may be my next stop in terms of doing that.
Now, can you talk a little bit about how you went from having an idea about this and how the Yepster folks kind of helped you focus this and make it marketable?
Sure. So just to give you a little background, I'm 35 years of corporate, having spent most of my years in corporate. While I was aware of LinkedIn and Facebook and all of that, I really didn't have a full knowledge of the breadth of it. I was smart enough to know that when you come out with a new idea these days, it spreads virally. So like I said, I was smart enough to know that, but I didn't know how to accomplish that. And a lawyer friend of mine was able to recommend me to attend a class on social media that Yepster, Danny and Broadway and Matt Gartner were actually teaching. And the purpose of that class was to basically educate people on the whole social media. You know, what's the purpose of LinkedIn? How do you use it? What's the purpose of Twitter and Facebook and the like?
And did what you learned there surprise you? Was it a lot different than what you thought?
It surprised me. And the one thing that knocked me off my shoes, and Danny can attest to this, they were talking about Facebook and the question came up. And Danny and those had no idea what product I was working on, what my idea was. And they're talking, and the question comes out, what's the average age of the person using Facebook? And we're throwing out numbers 27, 25. We're thinking, oh, it's all the youngsters. And they said, no, it's a 55-year-old grandmother trying to stay in contact with their grandkids. So I knew I was in the right place.
You woke up at that point in the seminar.
I was
you
like,
woke
stop.
Up.
We are paying guys at the door to get information. Right. You know, it's like the old
like
gospel.
The fortune teller.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, I can walk. I can walk.
I can walk. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So after I heard that, I knew I was on to something because I had done some homework, obviously, and I knew my demographic and I knew what they liked, but I wasn't quite sure if, in fact, Facebook or Twitter was the right tool to go out and begin to spread it. And so, as they say, the rest was history. After participating in the class, I immediately went up to Danny and said, we have to talk. And probably within 2 weeks of that, I was sitting in their offices, basically laying out my plan in terms of this whole idea of grandmother, the whole idea of wanting to, you know, begin to spread this virally, and my idea of also wanting to have products to sell so that these women can kind of celebrate being grandmothers.
So what are some of those products?
So I've got my basic, you know, your T-shirts products, which, you know, it has the grandmother T-shirt on the front and the definition on the back. I've got some sexy T-shirts. I've tried to kind of compartmentalize or recognizing that, you know, you don't have one T-shirt for every type of grandmother. So I've got three types of T-shirts. I've got a beautiful grandmother mug that's got a lot of bling around it because, you know, it's grandmothers, to your point.
Bling.
We got to have the bling. That's probably why we're at the casino, so we can make money to have the bling. I've got some beautiful stationery, note cards. I also have brag books. We love to brag about our grandkids. I've got some grandmother caps. And I have some keychains that you can put photos of your grandchildren in.
So this would be fun to shop with you. Like, I just found out on Facebook this morning that Cindy Waters is now going to be a grandmother. It would be great to go to you and shop for somebody.
That's exactly
like,
right. You could go to glammother.com and
glam-mother.com.
And you could shop away.
And to your point, though, even if we were not having her on the show today, I would have known that Cindy was going to be a grandmother.
Right.
And may have found you through Facebook because you're using that as a platform.
I sure am. Yeah. Yes. It's been a wonderful journey so far. We started about a year ago, early June. We're over about 6,500 fans on Facebook in that year's time frame.
Cool.
So, and I think a little over 6,000 in terms of Twitter. And as Danny mentioned, I'm having as much fun during the process. While I've hired Yepster to help me manage the process, and we have people that help to manage the conversations on Facebook, I'm touching base with them two or three times a week to give them topics and ideas to put out there on Facebook. And I can tell you guys, these grandmothers, they love the topics. Although I stay away
from it. It's a cult, I'm telling you. It's a cult. It's like it's grown into this like organization undermining the... No, it's fantastic. I mean, you should see some of the conversations. Go check it out. I mean, you know, Facebook /grandmother. It's amazing. They're so involved with each other and helping each other out even with
yes.
topics around other products. And again, it's not just about selling T-shirts. And again, she's almost got 15 products now, but it's about a conversation, a social movement that's happening within that Facebook page. And they're getting answers to all kinds of questions, not just what T-shirt to wear, obviously.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Now, Nellie, is it meeting your expectations or is it surpassing them? How do you feel about how it's progressing?
Actually, in terms of the Facebook fan base, it's actually surpassing them. I mean, I was expecting it to have for it to resonate with these grandmothers. But like I say, I have over 6,500 in a year's time. That, I think, is a miraculous number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm continuing.
When you started working with Danny, what number did he say would be at a year? What was he anticipating?
I think it was actually about half of that what we were expecting. It was more like 3,000 as opposed
and
to
so
3,000,
you were probably like, wow, that would be great if we get 3,000. And now you got...
Let me tell you, I was doing cartwheels when I hit 1,000.
Yeah. So you sell small and deliver big.
Yeah. We totally knew we were going to hit 10. Yeah, so exactly. It has been, I'm telling you, it's amazing how, again, just some of these little niche opportunities where somebody, we come in and we just start conversations based on what our clients want to talk about. And all of a sudden people just jump on board and they're like, wow, never thought of that. You're right. There is a group of women out there who are not, they don't have a platform to go have a conversation on. And that's really what she's providing beyond a there's a product involved in that they kind of group around and enjoy. But it's really the product sells through the conversations and the opportunities to be a part of that group. And it's really neat to watch that.
And this reinforces for me this whole idea, and you and I have talked about it at some lengthly, that there really is some tremendous value in a targeted, focused niche, developing that that niche community in there.
Right. It's what is the saying? Niches bring you riches.
Well, it reminds me
the
like
the right
Elizabeth.
Niches.
Well, and I'm looking at her folder here with all the pink and stuff. It reminds me of Elizabeth Gordon's work,
right.
Working with female entrepreneurs. She's one of our hosts. She has a show here. But I mean, there really is some tremendous value in that laser focus, isn't it?
Sure.
Yeah.
And developing meaningful conversation.
Exactly. Yeah. And then it grows because they want to share it. It's not just a flight, something flying by at night. You know, it's something I'm involved in and I want to share, you know.
So do you think that having the products actually helps share it because then it gives you something to share?
Yeah, you can't have a bad product. I mean, you know, we tend to be a little bit picky, not too much. But, I mean, if somebody comes in with something, you know, like something that'll slap you in the face every time you say the word Bob, that's probably not going to be a product we can get excited about, unless there's a market out there, which you never know. But, there does have to be a good idea behind it. So you're exactly right.
Now, do some industries in your experience, Danny, do they lend themselves more to these vehicles than others? What are some examples of some other organizations that you're working with?
You know, it's funny. We work with almost every product, every service. You just have to understand that if you're selling, a brand new opportunity that's not as exciting. Like we have a client right now that goes in and takes restaurant waste, and I need to try to say this right because they're brand new with us, and they recycle it and they turn it into like a fertilizer and that type of thing. Okay, probably not doing as much good with Facebook as just getting the information out there with Twitter, and definitely on LinkedIn trying to patch those Twitter links in so restaurants and all these relationships that we're trying. And I'm going way left field so you can understand the difference between an exciting thing like Glamother and an exciting thing like recycling. But there is a big difference, and so we have to understand when we begin that audience probably won't grow quite as fast. But a client to them, you know, a retail situation with Nelly around $20 would be a situation for them around $5,000. So, like, we have a company called Paperhost. I think I can share that. I don't think they'd mind that I shared that. We've been active with them for over 2 years, and their sale is going to be a $20,000-$25,000 sale. So if with our pricing and that type of thing, I won't go into, but at that point, if we find them one or two opportunities a year, and what we haven't talked about, and I don't know how deep you want to go, is all the other things that happen from social media. Social media is content on the internet, and Google loves content. So not only are we creating audiences and starting conversations and all the things we shared in this first 15, 20 minutes, but we're also talking about putting you on the first page of Google and doing it in a way that you're not cheating, you're not paying for illegal backlinks, and you're not all this stuff. If Google catches you, they kick you off, or you stop paying the guy you're backlinked to and he's going to cut you off if you don't write another $2,000 check this month. It's your content. You own that content. So that pyramid of content you build below your website, you're always going to be there. So there's a lot more, and again, that's my 30-minute presentation. You know, there's a lot more to this than it's an overall yep sir internet strategy more than yep sir social media, and that's why we say that. So
I think this guy knows his stuff.
It sounds that way.
And that's certainly been your experience, hasn't it?
It has certainly been my experience. And you know what? We're about to take it to the next leg. We started off initially with Facebook and Twitter. And the next leg is we're about to do a series of YouTube. Because as you are probably aware, YouTube is another big vehicle that you could leverage to kind of brand your product, brand your service, and in terms of me, branding my movement. And so we're going to begin interviewing some actual glam mothers and putting them out there on YouTube.
You could get like a pink bus and drive all over the country.
Right. I'm thinking
about that. The glam bus, you know.
Right. Glam like bus.
I do have the glam cocktail, though. You know, you're going to celebrate, so I have my own glam cocktail. Right. So I've coined that. But no, we plan to use YouTube, and we'll be rolling out within the next week or two. And that, for me, is the next leg of this journey to kind of leverage that. So, to your point, Danny, I wouldn't see LinkedIn as a vehicle to kind of spread my brand.
Right, for you, where it might be good for one of your other.
Exactly.
Right.
So there is a target and a focus. Not everything is built for every product.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Yeah. All right, let's let all the glam mothers out there and those of us who wish to serve the glam mothers, let's make sure they know how to get to your website.
So you could get to me at glam-mother.com. That's www.glam-mother.com.
Well, it has been an absolute delight having you on the show. Thanks so much for coming down and visiting with us.
Thank you.
And I'm going to be on your website later today. I got to get something for Cindy.
Exactly.
No question about. Absolutely.
I may have to bring you back something right here.
All right. And Danny, if these organizations that are listening would like to reach out, learn more about how to navigate this this whole world of internet strategy, and have a productive conversation with you as opposed to just watch an advertisement, what's the best way for them to do that?
Yeah, please visit us on our website. It's www.yepser.com. And, you know, we have clients and everything on there where you can check out how we did what we did and Nellie and others around what we do. And of course, come follow us on Facebook. Just search Yepser, Y-E-P-S-E-R, or go to Twitter, search Yepser. We're all over the place. YouTube, we got some funny videos of our team. We make funny videos and put them out there. So there's a lot of fun to be had. Yepser, just go to Google and Yepser in Google, and you'll find about 100 pages. We actually just patented the word. We own the word. The government just sent us our paper.
You
so
own the
I'm,
word Yepser.
I made and own a word now. How crazy is that? So
well, I'm going to try to go for Mom and M.
Yeah.
Know, like, where are you going for dinner? Are we going to go over to Mom and M?
Mom and M?
Mom and M.
It's I think you may have to steal that from Foxworthy, but yeah.
So. Fun stuff. You learn anything this morning, buddy?
Every day.
Yeah. All right. Well, until next time, this is Stone Payton, Lee Cantor, our guest this morning, Nellie Myers with Glam Mother, and Mr. Danny Broadway with Yepser, and everyone here at the Radio X family saying we'll see you in the fast lane.